And tell me about some of your favorite stories that you have been associated with during your investigations or research.
That many?
This idea of writing and interviewing, you look for the credibility of the people involved,
sure.
And also trying to get that story that gives some connection to the activity. And one of the best ones was a Baltimore policeman who talked to me early in this and discussed the idea of going into a house, in a row house in the middle of Baltimore, where there was supposedly a domestic disturbance. And he and his partner ran into the house. The family was huddled on the first floor. There was all kinds of noise on the coming upstairs. They went up, checked every window, got to the third floor, nothing. And they noticed a chair on the third floor in the attic. They shut the door. They're on their way back down the steps, get down to the landing, heading to the first floor, and they hear all this rustling and tumbling and crashing, and this chair comes down, knocks his partner over, and sends him over the half of the railing onto the floor, and it lands in the lobby of the house. And he said he and his buddy just looked at each other and suggested that the people leave. They would drive them somewhere and then had arguments on the way back on how they were going to write this up when they went into the station. That was just a great one because of the source was such a good source. Another one was an author who had written a short story. He was a college professor in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a murder in the town. A World War I veteran had gone insane and had been infirm and lived with his mother for many years, and then he ended up killing his mother with an axe.
Oh,
and,
God.
Well, what they did was they sold the whole place off. There were no relatives, no friends at all, and the antiques ended up in the furniture store in the middle of town, and he's teaching a class, and he comes into the class, and everybody's screaming and shouting and arguing, this can't be true. And he says, what's going on? And the kid says, I was at the antique shop down in town, and there was a woman who fainted in the bottom and started screaming. And he ran down to the antique shop. The furniture was out on the sidewalk, and the story was that a woman was looking at the furniture from this old house, and she looked in the mirror, and she saw a recreation of the murder taking place in front of her eyes and started screaming, and the antique dealer took the stuff out on the street. So mirrors have a sensitivity, as you know, and perhaps the scene was captured and of what had occurred there. So those are just two quick examples of some of the things that happened to come up.
Are you a little skittish when you touch any of these objects?
I don't touch them.
You don't touch them?
No, I will not touch them. I've seen a number of them, and certainly some of these interviews I've done were done by phone because of the distance involved. But
you're glad of that too, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I'm very glad. When we were on the Queen Mary, we made sure that we had about 40 objects over the 3 days of filming, and they were all sitting on the table, and I made sure I didn't touch anything. You never tell. You just sort of play safe. Why not? It can't hurt to play safe in this business. But no, I don't touch the objects, and I've been offered the objects many times. When a guy tells you the violin that I'm bringing out on the table, everybody who's associated with it has died rather suddenly and at a young age, and I'm trying to get rid of it, would you like to take it home? The answer is immediately no. It's weird. It's unusual stories associated with things that we have on every day, pass from you buy them or you pass them down to relatives and friends, and sometimes something seems to come along with them.
So, Ed, of everything you have done in the field, is there one object that scared the heck out of you?
There was one story that I thought was neat because it was so bizarre but then it gave a good example of how this stuff works. And it was a woman who had a child that needed a bed up in Wisconsin, and he was growing out of his bed, and she told her sister, you go antiquing a lot, pick up something if you find it. And they bring an old metal bed back into the house, and the next thing you know, the kid is banging on the parents' door that there's a mean man in his room with pimples on his body and red eyes and crazy hair. And of course the father is telling the kid to live through it, and the mother is trying to be more receptive. And eventually they ignore this over a period of weeks until the mother is sitting in the living room with the kid, and they're playing flashcards, and the kid starts crying because he missed a few, and And the mother says, that's okay. And he says, no, I'm not upset with you. It's the mean man over there sitting on the couch that is telling me that, you know, I'm stupid. And she says, what are you talking about? And she looks over the couch, and it's a wonderful scene where there's a depressed section of the cushions. And then the cushions sort of rise up, and the kid gets up, runs down the hall, and slams the door and says, that's all right, he'll be in there tonight, but he said he won't bother us now. And finally it sort of clicks that all this happened when this bed came in. She calls her sister, and the sister informs her that she didn't want to bother her with where the bed came from because it might upset her, and it was from the hospital for the criminally insane in the next county. Now, you know, that was such a neat story, and it just sort of gave you a good idea of when you have this stuff, you know, where it comes from is really important, and you might not be able to prove, you know, the cause, but certainly these ideas and stories and sources give, you know, an inclination of what the reason is. So that was a good one, I thought.